All right, good evening. I just want to make one qualification statement because last time when I was in Zimbabwe, I had some members ask me some questions and in regards to how I went on my trip. And I just wanted to make sure that I said that now so when people ask questions about this trip, you already know the answer. The South Salem Church, no money came from the treasury of this congregation. I want that understood. Neither on the first trip nor on this trip. It was by members that came to me privately, that funded my trip, paid for my expenses, paid for medication, paid for clothing, paid for food. It was all provided by individual members in this congregation. And so with that being said, that was very good and very grateful that all that happened. The other part of it is that the thing that I needed most on this trip was provided by you, the members, and that is the prayers. The work that took place was very demanding. We would start at 5 o'clock in the morning, and many times we didn't finish till 10 to midnight at night because of evening devotionals and talking to the people in their homes. It was a very, very busy work. This first picture here you see, that's Elias over here. Let me see if this works. Yeah, that's Elias. He was our driver for the whole trip. It's really interesting in the Philippines, when you get outside of Manila and you get into rural areas, driving on the streets is crazy. I've never seen anything like it in my life. You cannot have your elbow out the door. If it's out the window, you'll lose your arm, bottom line. If you have a cell phone, you never have it up by the window, they will take it. These little motorcycles, they literally drive this close to your vehicle. And the trucks and everything. So it's very, very busy. And so you got to be very careful on that. And that is his wife right there, a wonderful lady. She's also assistant nurse. We're staying in a home that you'll see here in a minute. We stopped first, me and Bob. There's Bob and one of the preachers. We stopped at what's called an SM, that's their shopping malls. And we got some power cords so we could charge all of our equipment. And so that was part of what we did. Here is our host on the trip. This is Jerry. And Jerry is an elder in the church there at Capitan, where we were, the very first church that we preached at. He's an elder there, and that's his wife. And she goes by Doctoral or Test, for short. A wonderful lady and just so giving. She joined us on our trips in many of the churches that we went, and she brought all of her medical supplies because the brethren are very poor. They cannot afford medical. They don't have medical like we do here. There's no medical. The only way you get medical is if you pay. No medical insurance, no welfare, no nothing. So she would bring medical supplies and treat all the brethren. Sometimes we had to stay an extra 2.5-3 hours so that she could treat the brethren and give them medications, shots, etc., prenatal vitamins, all of that. So a wonderful lady, and she makes some very good peach cobbler and mango milkshakes at night. And boy, that's something I'll never forget. The streets are very busy. As you can see, all the shops are very close together. If they had a fire or something there, they would all go up. We are living just down this way and in her office. The bottom level is the doctor's office, her clinic. And then we're on the second level. And then she and her husband live on the third level up. They always build up and they're very narrow. Let me see if I, there we go. There's Bob at the meat market. He took me through there. And we walked, this is just where, right where, around where we're living, and he just took me through the meat market and showed me some of the stuff. And then this is where Bob got his fresh bread every morning. And you pay like 20 pesos to get 30 of these breads. He says, wait till you try it. And sure enough, every morning we'd have our bread with jam and coffee. He doesn't drink coffee, but I did. But anyway, it was great. I'm going to try to get through this quickly. Okay, there we go. These little boys, every time you walk through the street, the kids are amazing. They'll come up to you, and they're not from Christian families. They're just children that are in the streets or whatever. They'll come up to you, and they'll grab your hand, and they'll put it up to their forehead to show you respect. That was really neat in that culture. Everywhere you go, the children will come up and grab your hand and put it to their forehead to show you respect. And they also, I found out I have a new name in the Philippines. It's called Joe. Hey, Joe! And that's because you're white. And they remember the war, and so military G.I. Joe. And then, so, Joe, where are you from? Tell them Oregon. They have no idea where that's at. So that was kind of interesting. This here is really close to the church building. Actually, this is the first church building that we preached at. There's the banners out front there. But you can see this water here. This is all sewer. And the boats are there, and people live on these boats. So the smell was pretty horrendous in a lot of the areas that we were, but these kids are just wonderful. They just want to hug you. They want pictures with you. They're just wonderful children everywhere. There we go. Okay. Now, this is the first building that we preached at. And you see these seats here. Jerry, who I showed you from the beginning, our host, works for the security for Delta Airlines. And so they were scrapping some planes, and he took the seats, and now that's their pews in their congregation. So I asked him, what's with these red seats? He says, well, if you get to sit there, you're in first class. So I got to sit up front, but actually they use these as well for the elderly that have their medical issues. They sit up front. They're very comfortable seats. I was amazed. So that's how it is in the congregation there. I thought that was kind of neat. You know, it's kind of a neat kind of backdrop because it's like we're taking off. We're going. You know, it was pretty cool. It was nice preaching there. It really was. So here we go. Okay. This is that same building, and they have the Church of Christ, obviously, up there. We had 7 preachers with us on a regular basis, and up to 9 at different times that would come and join us as we went around the entire Philippines and even into Mindoro, which is an island that's under martial law. They have police officers in every restaurant. Everywhere you're at, there's officers because of some of the violence and stuff that goes on. These are wonderful men. This guy here, I loved him. He was just incredible. His name is Edwin. I called him my John Mark. So I said, you got my parchments and my books, and don't forget the cloak. It's too hot here. And he just laughed. But these guys are wonderful. And then there's June, and there's all these other guys. That's Vicente. Just wonderful preachers. And they came with us, and they did our interpreting for us. And they also did song leading. And so that was really, really nice. And then Bob and I, when we started out here at this congregation. There we go. That's my living quarters. Not the toilet, but the toilet there and the bucket of water, that's how you take your baths. And so there's no shower, hot water or anything. So you use the bucket. And when I started out, I'd start putting the water over my head to shower and lather up and then rinse. And they said, you're doing it all wrong. They said, what you do is you take the first bucket and you put it down your back. It'll be cold at first, but then everything else goes easy, and they're right. And we did that every day, used a bucket. There's a little drain that's right over here, so in the same bathroom where the toilet's at, all that happens. Toilets don't flush. You use the bucket of water to flush the toilet. No toilet paper goes in the thing. Anyway, this is my room. It's basically the size of a prison cell, 4x8. And they had a little air conditioner here, which I was grateful to have, even though it didn't work well. But it made it much more comfortable. When you get there, it's 90 degrees. The humidity is terrible. You sweat all the time when you're preaching. You got a rag and you're wiping your forehead because it's just dripping. You're wet by the time you're finished every single day. So that was my sleeping quarters. The mattress is very thin and it's got knots in it. But after about 4 days and the hours that you put in, you don't notice the knots anymore. You just go home and lay down your head. And so it's interesting, but that's, and then I had my CPAP machine. I love that thing, Darth Vader. It was awesome, but anyway, it helped me to sleep better. Here we had 5 baptisms when we were there as a result of the lessons that we taught. It was really good. And what you see here, this is on the 3rd floor of the church building, and this is a dumpster. This is where they baptize. So there's water in there right now. They take the metal things off, and they put the person in, and they lift them up, whatever, put them in, and they immerse them. And so that's their baptismal there. Here's another one that was baptized, and these 3 children. They're the ages 12 and 13, but you have to remember, in the Philippines, a 12 and 13-year-old child, due to all the poverty that they're in, and their way of life, they're more like 17, 18 years old in their mindset. It's amazing. They're very intelligent children. Here's Bob. We're going to Mindoro now on the ferry. A year and a half ago, the ferries were some of the boats there, I guess, or some of the ships, and maybe even one of the ferries, but they were taken hostage by pirates. And they asked for $5 million to get the people back. And Bob said he didn't ever hear the outcome of that. But we went through those same straits where that happens. This is the island of Mindoro that we're going into. These kids out here, When the ferry pulls up, they dive into the water, and the tradition there is you throw a peso in the water. You throw a peso, and they will dive down and get it, and it's amazing. So Bob's throwing pesos. I threw a few out there, and the kids will dive down, and they come up and show you the peso in their teeth. It's just something they do, and that's how the kids make their money. So that was kind of interesting, and there was quite a few of them there. The first place, and these are our hosts in Maduro. This is Esther, and this is Daniel. And there, you can see they're short people, because I'm bending down all the time. And then we visited this gravesite of this lady. Her husband passed away, and he was so influential in the church in the Philippines, in Mindoro, in getting it to grow and really prosper and really do well. Bob's known him for 27 years, and then he passed away. Well, we stayed in her home, and she immediately, we took to each other. I called her mom, and she called me son. So she was really great. And then all the preachers, and then the children. This is her son, and he's also a preacher. And so we had preachers everywhere. It was really something. And they're very, very smart, very intelligent. That's one of our forms of transportation. That's called a Jiminy. And they're Jeeps that were left over from World War II, and they convert them into buses to haul the people around. And so our host owns one of those, and he took us all around. And we went up to this one congregation, I'll show you here in a minute, and the roads were washed out. This is their Jollibee, and that's like our McDonald's, more like our KFC. So what they serve in the Jollibee is chicken and rice. That's it. Chicken and rice. And so it's different, but we just got pictures with that because that's like their KFC. And there's their other transportation there to the right, which is little tricycles, and then you got a little cab. You give them whatever pesos, and they'll take you to where you want to go. Here's the church in Mindoro. Again, they treated Bob and I like rock stars. I don't know why, but they just do. And it's because they appreciate people coming over on missionary work, coming there to help and to teach the gospel. They treat you with the greatest amount of respect. And so I couldn't carry my backpack anywhere. I'd have one of the preachers, no, let me get that. And I said, let me get it. And they insist everything. I never carried my luggage anywhere or my backpack. They always took care of it. And so these children are amazing. They love to sing. The children will show up at the congregation before a lesson's taught, usually a half hour or 45 minutes before, and they're already singing. It's amazing. And these children, in fact, you'll see it right here, listen to them sing. It's just amazing. Let me see if this will, yeah. Whoop. It's not playing.
How? That computer up there. The computer.
Let me go back. Okay, I'll try it again. It's amazing. The kids were just fantastic. They sang all the time, and if I had a bigger suitcase, I'd love to take them home. But they don't offer adoption in the Philippines whatsoever. They do not allow adoption. This, again, is in Mindoro, and then some of the kids. Now, this place here, over here and where I'm at here is a more affluent place where the elder in the church there happens to be very well-to-do. So he built this place, and it's got nice tile and everything on the floor. And his wife is a caterer, and so that was an amazing place because they put a table on the side for me and Bob, and they served us some very good food. It was amazing. It was really, really special. But these little kids, these girls, they always want hugs. They're always coming up, and it was just amazing. The children are just precious. Preaching at the different congregations, here's some more. The building's always varied. Here's one that's really narrow, and we were in this one, and then over here was over up in Maduro again and up towards Santiago, and we filled that place up. I mean, there was brethren and some people even standing outside the doors, so that was very, very nice to see. When we got up to Minduro at the very top of the mountain, it's a 12-hour drive in this van. It's a terrible drive. I just didn't like the drive. But anyway, we get there, and all the kids are waiting. They're waiting out on the street. It's nighttime already. The kids are waiting. Here comes Uncle Bob. They were so excited. And when we got there, we headed up the stairs, and I can't show you the videos. I've got so many videos. It'd take me 3 hours to do this, as you found out. Anyway, but all the children, and Bob did these songs, and the kids are just into it. They just love it. He had over 50 children, and they were just loving all of this. This is Samuel here. He's one of the preachers at the congregation there. We helped him a little bit because they couldn't afford any tables for the kids for their Bible studies, so some money was provided for that so they can build some tables. And again, the great support I got helped to do that. This is a preacher there. Roel and his wife and daughter, and that's up at his place. You got to go way up these stairs to his place. I had my trousers pulled up too high, but anyway. My son told me that. Evening devotionals, we had them everywhere. Again, this is a core group that was with us all the time in this van. We all, like sardines packed in there, but it was great. These guys are just wonderful. See all the kids? They're just everywhere, and there's some inside the door over here. Now, this was an evening devotional. I start teaching this devotional on grace and gratitude. And this woman here, right here, she started to just bawl, just crying, tears flowing from her eyes. And I thought, wow, what, did I say something wrong? I didn't know what was going on. And the interpreter turned around and talked to her to ask her what's going on. And what it is, she's a school teacher. She's 28, I think, or 30 years old. She's a school teacher, and she's only been a Christian for 3 weeks. And she was crying because she's depressed. And I said, well, what's the source of her depression? And he interpreted for me. She feels like she's not doing enough as a child of God after 3 weeks. Her mother start crying, and then I start crying. Anyway, the Church of Christ, 1914. Ecclesia ni Christo means Church of Christ. This is the most political, powerful group in all of the Philippines. It is said, Bob said, that it is said that you cannot become a senator or anything in government unless you're a member of the Church of Christ, 1914. So you'll see in some of the pictures coming up what the brethren do there is they put Church of Christ, 33 AD, to separate ourselves from them. Because these people are very, very mean. They have an executioner assigned to their churches. You can Google this and look it up. And there's a church like this in California, by the way. But at the same time, they have an executioner as a position. So if you go out and you preach something different or say that what they're preaching is false, they will come and get you. In fact, I met one or two brethren that had been poisoned by these people, and they're currently going through all kinds of medical problems and will die from the poison. And so, and members of the church. So when you think about brethren suffering that are Christians, oh, it is happening in third world countries, big time. But that's the group. You can look it up and research it. He started out as, I think, a Presbyterian. He became a Baptist. He worked in the Methodist church, this gentleman here that founded this thing. And it is just really something. You can't get any pictures inside your building. They got armed guards and whatever. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out. This guy here, a great story. His name is Mel. He's a very influential person in the area that we were there. And he's facing death because he has diabetes and he's got half a kidney. And he's on a colostomy bag. And anyway, he's just a dear man. And so I'm talking to him and he says to me, he says, "It feels like I've known you all my life." And just in the short time that we talked with each other. And then he says to me, he says, "Dave, could you forgive me?" And I says, "Forgive you for what?" I can't get out of bed and come and hear you preach. Would you forgive me? And I says, "The Lord understands, you know." And anyway, I prayed a lot for him. But he'll probably be dead here in the next month or two. This guy, amazing story. His name is Willie. Willie, at the age of 16, was being abused. And he was, I'm not going to get into the details, but he was just, suffice it to say, there was a man in the village that abused children. And he was one of them that was abused. And then what happened is the third time this man came around, he couldn't take it anymore. He broke a stick off the tree and he hit the man in the head. Well, he hit him too hard and it killed him. And so the bottom line is that police came, they went and talked to the village. The village was relieved that this man is finally not going to abuse the children anymore, and they went away. Well, in the meantime, as this gentleman grew in his 20s, he became a preacher, a very good preacher. And then at the age of, 20 years, 16, at the age of 36, 20 years after that incident, the police came and arrested him and brought him to prison. And he went into the maximum custody prison. And his story gets even better. It's amazing. While he's in the prison, he is a good gospel preacher. He's got a captive audience, and I'm told that he was responsible for 80 people coming to Christ in the church there in that maximum custody prison. Then when he went to medium, he did the same thing, another 80 or so people, and then in the minimum, and there's a Church of Christ in every one of those prisons. And we got the chance to go and preach in every one of those prisons. And they all asked about Willie. Now, there's an example of a man that takes the gospel seriously. And he did, he's just an incredible, I asked him if I could tell a story. He said, "Please do." And so that's Willie. And I can't wait to see him again. He's just a wonderful man. Here we went to a school, the National School. And 348 students, and that's amazing. But the principal gets up and says, "I just want to tell you folks to pay attention. These missionaries, Bob Buchanan, Dave Larson are here. I want you to pay attention, and I want you to listen very carefully." And later he said to them, that's not on the mic, on the video, but he says, "You're not truly educated unless you have a knowledge of the Word of God." From a principal. And Bob got to preach to 348 students. It's amazing. And there they are. And they put this table up front for us in front of the students. And then they had a question and answer period afterwards. And then all the faculty staff wanted pictures with us as well. There's the faculty staff right here. These are all the teachers. And then this is the principal. And this is the vice principal. And then, of course, Bob and myself. And when we finished up, we came in, and I guess it's tradition there, but they like roasted peanuts. So the principal had us in his office for tea and peanuts and some banana thing that was gooey that was really good. And anyway, and I ate all that, and then we left there. But that's at the school. Just really neat. Here's the minimum security prison. I couldn't get a picture of the maximum. They wouldn't let me. But what's interesting, when we're in the minimum security prison, the guy was talking to me and trying to explain the prison to me, our tour guide, and I told him, I says, "No, I know all about that. I worked in the prison system in Oregon for 30 years. And he says, "What? Really? What were you?" And I shouldn't have told him, but I did. And so when I went into the prison here, as well as here, and the maximum, Bob goes through and they shake him down and they shake down the guide, but go ahead. And I got to walk through. Anyway. It was really something. But the prisons there, if you had to do time in a prison there, I mean, Oregon prisons are like a hotel. Over here, it is so bad. It is so bad, and the smell and everything. In their maximum custody prison, they're in about, I think it is 16 acres altogether, 19,000 inmates and very few officers. And they're all in orange jumpsuits, a lot of murderers, whatever, and we're walking through them. So, you know, faith, the prayers, thank you, because I got through it. Anyway, it was really something. This is Jerry. He's one of the guys that was poisoned by the 1940 Church of Christ. And what they'll do is they'll come into the congregation, and then they'll act like they're a visitor, and they'll come in and they'll sit amongst the members, and then they hear something that they don't agree with, and then they will, at coffee or whatever, they'll poison you. And that's what happened to Jerry. Jerry's in the hospital 2 to 3 times a week. His blood pressure is out of control. He's lost all use of his left arm, and he's continuing to deteriorate, and we expect he won't be around long. And that's a faithful brother in Christ. This is his daughter after the lesson that we were preaching, and she was baptized into Christ. And so another baptism, and little buildings, just that's their sign, Church of Christ there on the glass there, and that's it. See how it says there, Church of Christ, 33 AD? That's again to point out they're not the 1914. And then in the back, we always have our hilarious guys, the preacher. The preachers are in the back, and they're always goofing off. But they're awesome. The brethren were just phenomenal. They were great. They were so loving, so giving. It was just incredible. We're almost done. How much time do I got left? Am I doing good back there, Bob?
About 8 minutes.
Oh, well then, see, I timed this perfectly. And I got 3 more minutes to talk about something, so that's good. But anyway, doctoral, as I mentioned, she went with us at every one of these places, and it's amazing. You finish preaching, and then the brethren get in what they call a queue, just like in Africa, and they line up, and she treats every one of them. And then those preachers that we took with us, that the funds that I received helped to feed them and take care of them as well, they would sit there and help the doctor in diagnosing the people with blood pressure. She only has one blood pressure cup to deal with all these people, but that's being addressed. And so she would go through all of them, and the elderly and what have you. There's some, you know, when I did this over at Madrona Hills, one of the brethren over there said, I just can't believe this is true, because I'm looking at their clothes and stuff, and they look like they're not that poor. Well, the only reason, and Jack knows this, that they have that good clothes is because a lot of the missionaries bring it. And in fact, Esther packed a lot of clothes, and a brethren here gave clothes, and I brought that clothes over there, and they're so grateful to get the clothes. In fact, Esther, and I got to tell this real quick, Esther bought a bunch of underwear for the women. I'm not going to do that. But she did, and so Bob's giving this stuff out at night, and you can see Bob throwing some stuff there. He loves to do that. He throws stuff, and he gets a kick out of it. But anyway, when it came to the underwear, the lady says, well, what size are there? He says, well, I don't know. So he took one out, and it happened to be really big. And the little girls to the mother says, Mom, and pointed, and she's over there going, stop it, stop it. And Mom. And so she got all of them. But anyway, it was interesting. This is the last night that we're there. And Bob prepares the final meal. That's something he likes to do for the brethren there, because they're always catering to us. And so everything other than, I got it right, Jack? Everything other than this dish right here, Bob prepared all of that and made it. And they just love it because it's food they don't eat there. And so it was a really good, I guess you could call it our last meal, because that night we went to sleep and up in the morning go to the airport. And again, he's thrown all the leftover stuff. No clothes on my back, but what I'm wearing when I left, everything was given to them. And they just love the clothes. They just absolutely love the clothes. And then again, the children, you can see them all there. So that's it in a nutshell. I'm not going to go longer than that. So there we go. Thank you again. I appreciate it, especially to the members. You know who you are that helped me support me on this trip, because it wouldn't have been possible. So thank you. That's it.